The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good day, everyone. Welcome again to another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. This is your host, Richard Address, coming to you live from WWDB AM 860 here in the Delaware Valley and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. We are delighted to welcome to the microphone this morning on Boomer Generation Radio, Dr. Harry Rick Moody, who should be on the line. And Rick, welcome to Boomer Generation Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Dick. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to hear your voice. And we're going to be back with Dr. Moody to talk about a whole lot of things on his research, his work in the area of aging, and especially the baby boomers. We'll be doing that right after these messages.
Today, many families are expressing a growing interest in preserving the values, thoughts, and experiences of their older members so that future generations can benefit from their wisdom. This is Steve Lubetkin from Lubetkin Communications. We can create a family legacy video you'll treasure for years to come. Get more information now at lubetkin.net or call 856-751-5491. Mention Jewish Sacred Aging and you'll get a 10% discount on your family legacy video project.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Good day and welcome back to Boomer Generation Radio here on WWDB AM 860 in the Delaware Valley, Greater Philadelphia, and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. And once again, we welcome to the microphone Dr. Harry Rick Moody. Rick, it's good to hear your voice again. How are you? How's everything out in Colorado today?
Couldn't be better. Delighted to be here. And as I think you may know, Dick, I just retired from AARP a couple months ago, so I was intrigued to hear the announcement that was broadcast just a couple of minutes ago from AARP and the Ad Council.
Right. They're one of our PSAs at the beginning of every show. You're a writer, you're a speaker, you comment on lots of things dealing with this whole revolution in longevity, your book, Five Stages of the Soul. And I'd like to just start off by just asking you, in this whole longevity revolution, your work, Rick, and your studies and your speaking, talk to us a little bit about the stage of the soul that you see now emerging for this whole baby boom generation.
Well, I think many people, as they reach a certain point in life, it could be midlife, it could be retirement, reach the question of, well, okay, now what? Maybe I've achieved my goals in life. My children have left home. Reached a kind of peak, perhaps, or maybe I realize there are certain things I'll never achieve. But either way, people ask that question, what does it all mean? Where am I going? Is this all there is?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really the question that prompts what I describe as the call.
And talk to us a little bit, unpack that concept of the call, because it seems to be, you know, I just read another statistic last week, that next year, 2014, the last of the baby boomers, that the last wave will turn 50 in 2014. So this, our whole generation now is between, if you take it between 50 and let's say 68, 70, this is it. This is it.
It really depends on where you draw the line.
Right.
And this is a show about boomers, so I thought I should begin by saying, well, technically I'm not a boomer since I was born in 1945, which I'm a war baby. And people sometimes describe the aging, the boomer generation beginning in 1946. But I think you're right that this whole segment between age 50 and 70, roughly, it's a very large group. And, of course, they're increasingly eligible to join AARP, age 50. And I think that this is something that AARP, and remember, I no longer work for AARP, so I'm not here to promote the organization,
right.
But they do have a wonderful new program called Life Reimagined. And I love that phrase. I was working on that initiative before I left. Life Reimagined is really, I think, a very good phrase to describe this question of what do I do now with the rest of my life? And I think that many, many people are facing that. Not everyone, because many folks are facing day-to-day challenges just to make a living, keep up with inflation, house payments, and all the rest of it. But I think for increasing numbers, they will face that question, how do I reimagine my life?
Well, I know that when we go out and talk about this, I was just doing something in San Diego last week, and the reality that if you leave regular work, you know, the usual work at 62, 65, 68, you could potentially, God willing, with health, be dealing with 25, 30 more years of life. And I guess that's where the question that the call is coming. What do I do with three decades
exactly
of life?
Exactly the right question. And it's funny that you mention it, because just yesterday my wife and I were talking about this, and she turned to me and said, do you realize we could live, she's about my age, another 30 years. Now, of course, I would be 98 by then, but I'm 68 now. But is that depressing or is that, optimistic? It really depends on how you look at it. The glass is half empty or half full. And I think I would say the spiritual question is, how do we focus on the half full? We don't want to deny the problems, but we want to look at the opportunities.
So let's talk a little bit about that spiritual component of aging, because the medical community is filled with, you can't pick up a newspaper or a magazine today without the medical component of this supplement or that exercise or that pill or that research study, and for good or for bad. But what about the spiritual component of our own journey?
Well, Dick, you put your finger on the question. You know, I don't need to tell you because you're a rabbi, but you know that great Talmudic saying, if I am not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, what am I? If not now, when? And I think, I'm not Jewish, by the way, but
That's cool. You're quoting Rabbi Hillel. That's really cool.
Absolutely. He's one of the greatest of
the rabbis. You get points.
Here's the key idea. Health is important, and that corresponds to, if I am not for myself, who will be? People have to take responsibility for their health, and there have been some recent information in the press about supplements and, casting doubt on whether or not all these supplements are really safe, accurate, worthwhile, et cetera. And people need to look carefully at that, because there are a lot of things that are very simple, like exercise and balanced diet, getting a good night's sleep and all of that. This is important for health, and it's our personal responsibility. It's not something Medicare can take care of. So that's the first point. But I think, Dick, you put your finger on it when you say there's an overemphasis, perhaps, on health, because that's not the only thing. And that leads us to that second. If I'm only for myself, what am I? If I'm only concerned with health, then what am I? What is health for? What is money for? And that leads to this question of purpose. Why do I get up in the morning? I don't think getting up in the morning for another game of golf, not that I'm against golf, by the way, is really the full answer to the question. There is a place for recreation. I don't play golf. I play racquetball. And that's good for your health, too, exercise. But the question of purpose is really fundamental, and that's really what Life Reimagined has tried to open up. And I think we're all going to be dealing with that question.
You know, we read a lot, Rick, about the baby boom generation being so radically different and carrying perhaps the social baggage of the 60s and 70s. You're in a unique position because you studied this, you've written about this, you really are one of the leaders in this whole understanding of aging. Really, how, other than the media hype, how, in your perspective, how different is this generation, our generation, than our parents' generation or other aging?
The true answer is is it's hard to say because of the vast heterogeneity, that is, differences in the aging boomer population. By some measures, Hillary Clinton, born in, I think, 1946 or 47, is a boomer. Mm-hmm. And so is Barack Obama,
right.
Born in, I think, 1962. So, you know, when you look at the boomers, they cover a span of perhaps 18 years. That's a lot of difference. Somebody my age remembers very well where they were when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. You know, I was a freshman at Yale, 18 years old, 1963. Other people had just been born, or they have no memory of this whatsoever. So I think the key point is that boomers, when we generalize, are very different, and they've lived through different historical epochs, and they're facing different experiences. Somebody in their early 50s, to go back to your example, they're going to face different financial challenges in preparing for retirement than somebody my age who's 68 and I just retired. I happen to be covered, at least in part, by a defined benefit pension plan from my former employer, AARP. Well, most people today, certainly those in their 50s, don't have defined benefit pension plans. Some government workers do, but most don't. And increasingly, our society is telling us you're on your own when it comes to financial matters. And that's a key element that links up with the boomers' perception, because I think from an early age, certainly going back to the 60s, there's been a message, you're on your own, you need to reinvent yourself, everything is open to you. It's not quite true, but I think that was a cultural message, certainly, of the 60s. The question now, as boomers, as my former boss, Robert Butler, used to put it, what happens when the boomers reach Golden Pond? Great question. What happens when the boomers reach Golden Pond?
I hope the boat doesn't sink.
Hope the boat doesn't sink. Hope the pond hasn't dried up because of global warming.
Right.
A lot of challenges there, a lot of questions. But I think, yes, we have to generalize about boomers because there's such a large group, the pig and the python, so to speak,
right.
Is swallowing that big, huge demographic change. But at the same time, we have to be cautious about generalizations and recognize that some of those generalizations really are, I think, very harmful. For example, the idea that the boomers are narcissistic or they ate all the food at the party or this kind of thing. I don't think this is accurate at all. I think there's the diversity among the boomers, and today we're all facing some big challenges as we go forward.
I mean, it seems to me that a lot of the research are either anecdotal or and some of the stuff that's coming out is that this generation is really in tuned or to get to what I call the give back syndrome, that a significant percentage of boomers understand that there is a responsibility now that they have this time to start giving back to society in some way, shape, or form.
Well, I very much agree with that. In fact, I'm writing a book called Leaving a Legacy, Our Aging Society and Future Generations. Not out yet, so don't look for it on your Kindle. But the point you're making, Dick, about giving back is really critical. But it raises an interesting question. Is this a matter of a generation, or is it a matter of something that people experience when they reach a certain age in life? And technically, we call that difference between cohort a factor, that is, a boomer, per se, and just reaching a certain age, no matter what generation you are. And I think it's hard to disentangle the cohort factor from the age factor, but there's no question that as people get older, they encounter that issue of what do I leave behind? What is my legacy? I have to tell you a little funny story about this, and just as I quoted Rabbi Hillel a little while ago, I have to quote another rabbi. I suppose I'm going to become
You quote one more rabbi, you become Jewish.
Exactly. I'm going to become like, what is that word for the goy who opens the synagogue on Saturday? Anyway, here's the story. Reb Zalman Schachter, who perhaps is known to some of our listeners, a rabbi, happens to live in Boulder, Colorado.
He's up the street from you, I think, yeah.
Yeah, he's written a wonderful book called From Aging to
Saging. Right.
Great book, and it's all about this question of how do I find deeper meaning in life. Anyway, I was in a restaurant with Reb Zalman a few years back. He's now in his late 80s, and he turned to me and he said, Rick, he said, this question about aging is very simple. He said, the real question is, are you saved? And I looked at him for a minute, and I thought, well, he's a rabbi, he's a clergyman, maybe this is a kind of a theological theological. He says, no, no, I don't mean it in a religious sense at all. He said, the question, are you saved? Have you downloaded your life experience? That is, are you saved in a computer sense? Have you done your legacy work? Have you downloaded your wisdom, your experience to the next generation? So that question of are you saved is really a question about intergenerational relationships and the future. And it's a very, very important question. I've thought about it many times since he told me that funny little story. And for me, it has a lot to do with mentoring. And that's a big subject, but it's very important that we open up that question of giving back, and I'm glad you mentioned that.
Well, I'd like to pursue that in a couple of seconds after we take care of some business here on Boomer Generation Radio. We're speaking with Dr. Harry Rick Moody this morning here on WWDB AM 860 AM in Greater Philadelphia on Boomer Generation Radio. And I do want to make mention, while we have a couple of moments here, of the Hecht Investment Group of Janie Montgomery Scott. The Hecht Investment Group provides concierge financial consulting and planning services using a formal investment process as their foundation. Clients receive frequent communication and rapid response to questions. And there are no needs greater than your own when it comes to personal financial planning. The Hecht Investment Group provides experience, guidance, and an efficient management process that is important in today's environment. Contact the Hecht Investment Group toll-free at 855-289-2168. That's 855-289-2168. Mention Boomer Generation Radio. You can visit the Hecht Investment Group at hechtinvestmentgroup.com. And they are also on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And I'm pleased to remind you that the Hecht Investment Group has recently been selected as a 5-star professional network listed in Philadelphia Magazine. That's the Hecht Investment Group of Janie Montgomery Scott. You can call them again at 855-289-2168. We're speaking with Dr. Harry Rick Moody, one of the leading commentators, scholars, and opinion makers on aging in the United States of America at the current time. And before we dropped off for that little message, Rick, you mentioned this whole idea of legacy and mentoring. I know this is something, along with the life review movement in the United States, around the world, actually, that's really becoming important. So can you just talk to us a little bit about this mentoring concept and the legacy concept?
Well, I'll be personal for a moment. I wrote a textbook in gerontology, which I'm happy to say is now coming out in its 8th edition.
Wow.
But for my 7th edition, I realized that, you know, I'm getting a little older. I need to bring in somebody to work with me to continue this project after I'm no longer doing it, for whatever reason. So I brought in Jennifer Sasser, a professor, a very leading gerontologist, and she's 25 years younger than me. And so I've, in a way, become a mentor to her and certainly a collaborator. And one thing I found is that I learn as much from her as she does from me. She happens to be more expert than me in social media and things like that, distance learning. So that's just a personal example. But I think all of us, whether we have children or not, need to be thinking about the next generation and what it is that we leave behind. And then asking the question, what are the skills that we have? What have we accomplished? And again, I don't want to be exclusively Jewish about this, but the ethical will concept, which
right.
is not limited to Judaism, but certainly was developed in my medieval Jewish scholars, this is different from the living will. Instead of just thinking about, well, how do I want to die, the question is, what do I leave behind? Not material possessions, that's important too, everybody should have a will, but the immaterial things, the wisdom, the life lessons. And I think we have to be careful about that, because sometimes older people, I include myself in that group now, are a little bit too eager to give advice. And let me tell you how it is. Let me tell you how it should be. And I try to keep that in mind when dealing with my children, because my rule is to wait for them to ask for the advice. And then when I give the advice, be very, very careful about what I say, because I have to realize that younger generations are living in a different world than me.
Right.
And but within that limitation, I do think the idea of the ethical will and of mentoring more broadly is a very, very important way to find meaning.
Well, the ethical will concept, as you mentioned, comes from the last couple of chapters of the book of Genesis, and it really crosses denominational lines. And I do know that it is an issue that is now beginning to bubble up around the world as this legacy. And, you know, personally, I think once you have grandchildren and watch those eyes and you really understand, as I've mentioned when I go out on the road sometimes, you look into the eyes of your grandchildren and you realize they're going to go places that you will never, ever, ever be able to go. And what do you want to leave them to just take as part of you with them? And I think it's a very powerful spiritual moment as well.
It is. And it also links up, I think, with some practical and contemporary issues. I'll just tell one story about this. You may not know this, Richard, but I'm the board president of the group Gray is Green, the National Senior Conservation Corps. Yeah. And we're an organization that essentially promotes environmental awareness and education for older people. And in that role, I was at a gathering, a senior housing project a few months ago, and I was talking about environmental issues, oceans and climate change and all that. We went around the room, and everybody was sharing their concerns, and one older woman didn't want to say anything, and then eventually she looked up, and I said, "What's on your mind?" And she said, "Well, I'm concerned about a lot of things, but mostly I'm concerned about my grandchildren." She said, what kind of world are we leaving for them? She said, it's not the world that I grew up in. She was talking about, the natural environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she was putting her finger on a very, very important question, which is hope. And in my case, I do that work in environmental matters, and I recently just finished reading a wonderful book by the author Mary Pfeiffer.
Oh, yeah.
Some of our readers may know that from her previous works. And this book is called The Green Boat, Reviving Ourselves in Our Capsized Culture. It's kind of an echo of Reviving Ophelia, which was an earlier very, very good book that she wrote. I don't know Mary Pfeiffer personally, but I'd like to meet her sometime and talk about this book, because it's really a book about environment and aging, and she herself is well into her 60s, I think, and talks in that book a lot about this question of losing hope. And again, we have to go back to again some of the traditional wisdom, Jewish or non-Jewish, mm-hmm. which boils down to the idea that it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness, and we have to take small steps in our world, beginning with recycling and dealing with our local environment. If we do those things, we can have some measure of hope. That doesn't mean we're, blind to the problems, but everybody has to do what they can.
Right. There's a saying in our tradition that you're not required to complete the task, but you are required to just take care of, save your little part of the world. And the idea, like you're saying, that if everybody just does their part for their part of the world, things will radically change.
I think it's absolutely right, and it's again, I know that wonderful phrase from Jewish tradition. It's interesting. Many of us know Wikipedia, a wonderful resource, all run by volunteers. And the other day, I was on Wikipedia, and I saw a message that said, if everybody reading this fundraising appeal were to send in just $3, our fundraising appeal would be over in an hour.
Right.
And I looked at that and I said, wow, I better contribute my part, because I like Wikipedia, I use it. So I immediately sat down, wrote them a check, and one thing led to another, and pretty soon I'm starting to work as a volunteer for Wikipedia. Okay, well, the point I'm making is that everybody is called upon to do a little thing, and that's really the question: can we do our part, and can we join with others? I'm not here to promote Wikipedia or AARP or any other organization, but I do think when we look at these seemingly vast organizations, it turns out that they're actually run by people like you and me. And it's good to remember that, and good to remember that our little effort can actually have big consequences that we may not ever see, just as in the quote you gave. You're not required to complete the work, but you need to begin it.
Rick, before we run out of time, I want to raise one touchy issue, because we're starting to lose time here. This whole idea of anti-aging and a tremendous amount of money and anti-aging research, and there's institutes around the country that I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes.
And I recently finished this book, Never Say Die, by Susan Jacoby, who really takes off on this, a lot of this, of basically saying, you know, despite all the money and despite all the research and despite all the hype, we've never yet managed to defeat death. And so,
well,
could you?
So far, she's right.
Yeah, so far she's right. So I haven't gotten the postcard back either. So
no, you're not going to get one.
Could you just?
You're putting your finger on something important here, and I know that book. I'm aware of what Susan Jacoby is urging, and I think she's a little pessimistic at times for me. But on the other hand, she's offering a very important corrective, which is to remind us that anti-aging is not a good phrase. Because it sounds like you're against aging. And as my friend and colleague Bill Thomas likes to say, nobody's avoided it yet. It's a great thing to remind us not to put our money on anti-aging products, because none of them actually work. The phrase is used, but nothing really slows down the process of aging. There's nothing wrong with research on that subject,
right.
And there are important and valid researchers doing that sort of thing, and that's fine. But that has not resulted in something where you can, you know, shell out money right now and become younger. That's really a delusion.
Amen. We'll be right back with some closing words with Rick Moody after these messages. This message is that I want to remind you if you are worried about your parents, if you're concerned about perhaps their failing memory, if you're concerned about your parents' safety at home and you're not quite sure where to turn for help, let me suggest that you consider SeniorWise. SeniorWise geriatric care managers can provide a comprehensive assessment and care plan. They can help keep your loved ones safe at home, screen and monitor in-home services, and help you avoid costly mistakes. And they can ease your loved one's transition into a care facility if that becomes necessary. SeniorWise is a member of the Samaritan family of services. And to speak with a SeniorWise geriatric care manager today, we invite you to call 856-552-5166. That's 856-552-5166. Mention Boomer Generation Radio, please. That's 856-552-5166, or you can log on to their website, www.seniorwisecare.org. That's www.seniorwisecare.org. And you again can call Samaritan Family of Services for their care manager at 856-552-5166. We're speaking with Dr. Harry Rick Moody. We have a couple of minutes left, about a minute and a half, Rick, so I'll throw you the most difficult, well, maybe not the most difficult, but on your perspective, looking forward and working with our aging population and the boomers, what are the three things that you're going to advise people to be involved with for successful aging?
Well, there's a lot of truth to the old Boomermeister, if you've got your health, everything's okay. It's not the whole story, but it's important. So particularly for younger boomers, it's not too late to do the obvious things like stop smoking, get exercise, eat the right diet. Health is important. That's the first thing I would say. Second point I would say is be wise about your financial decisions. That is, save money if you've got the capacity to do it earlier before retirement. And invest it wisely. Don't be misled by a lot of fear and greed that we find in the stock market. That doesn't mean avoid the market, but it means to do it wisely, and there's lots of ways to do that. And the third thing I would say, along with the health and money, is social connection. I think it was a great U.S. senator who said nobody on their deathbed ever said, "I wish I'd spent more time on my business."
Right.
Well, that means invest not just in money, but invest in social relationships.
So,
and that means cultivating friends, family, taking that extra time to maintain those contacts, because those are very, very important for a good age.
Dr. Harry Rick Moody, I really thank you very much for giving us your time. Have a great day. Say hello to Colorado for us. And
thank you very
Rick, thank you very much, man. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.